Today's episode of Locked On Yankees is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Harbaugh Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts. We also have an Instagram account, Locked On Yankees, all one word. Please feel free to tweet comments to either Twitter account and leave comments on our Instagram account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. It is part two of my crossover with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox, and we have a conversation about a lot of things pertaining to baseball, so we hope you enjoy it. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees, Locked On Red Sox, and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees.
Severino is not going to be ready to start your season. Sale is not going to be ready to start our season. No one knows if Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be A, ready to start our season, B, effective if he is ready. What is your team looking like? Because they're predicted to be the winners of the division. Obviously, it's January. So, I mean, no one knows. But our sponsor, BetOnline, has them pegged to win the division. What do you think it's going to be like for our A, your team, B, our division, and C, is the season even going to start on time?
Yeah, that's the big question. I hope it does. I would like for everything to go off without a hitch. I would like for there to be a 162 game season. I would like for everyone to be safe. It might be a pipe dream at this point, but that would be my wish. As for the Yankees right now, I think they're only projected to be the top of the heap in the AL East because the other teams, well, you know, the Blue Jays have made moves. You know, I wouldn't count out the Blue Jays to surprise
I feel like everyone's sleeping on the Blue Jays. I mean,
yeah,
even Ryu last year was a huge signing for them. And because of that, I think because of like our East Coast bias, like, I watched Ryu at Dodger Stadium throw a complete game shutout on like 94 pitches in 2019. He is filthy. I would not sleep on the Blue Jays.
Yeah, definitely not. They're
and
young.
They got
rare. Right. I was joking about that I was joking about the whole in-division thing. Like we were talking about the Ottavito trade. But my biggest fear with LeMahieu was I thought that the Blue Jays were going to scoop him up. And you know, your biggest fear as a fan is someone who played well for your team going to an in-division rival and then beating up on you, almost like with a vendetta, saying, all right, well, you guys got rid of me or you didn't re-sign me. Here I am. I'm going to beat you in 19 games. And, you know, it's one thing to see George Springer six times a year when he's on the Astros. It's another to see him 19 times a year on the Blue Jays. So that's not going to be fun for anyone.
Yeah, I think our division, I mean, not my team in the Orioles so much, but I think the Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays is going to be tighter than people expect. I do think that losing Snell obviously makes a huge dent in their chances down in Tampa. But I mean look, the Rays, even if they're not the best team in the division, like think about 2018, my team won the division, your team went to the wild card and won the wild card game. But the Rays were like nipping at their heels. And I think 2018 was the year that somebody looked at all the numbers across the board and said that if the Rays were in any NL division, they would have won the division because they had more wins than every NL team. And right. It just so happened that in 2018, like our division was a powerhouse. So even when they're not the best team in the division, they're always kind of, they're good enough lately to be annoying.
Right.
And sometimes, like, you know, like you'll go down there and you get your butts handed to you for, you know, three games in a row. And then you kind of limp back to Fenway or the Bronx and you're kind of like, what the heck just happened? And, you know, they went to game six of the World Series, even though, you know, Snell's had injuries over the last year or two. It's weird because I think with the Rays, because they have such a low budget team and like they don't really have a lot of superstars, there aren't a lot of big names, but their team is just sneaky good.
Mm-hmm.
And sneaky good enough that they went to the World Series and you know, got close to winning it. I don't know. I'm not really sure how much losing Snell is going to impact them. I feel like obviously it's significant. You know, he's a former Cy Young. He's a super talent. The Padres are going to be filthy this year, but it's kind of weird. I don't really know what to make of them because I never know what to make of them, if that makes sense.
Right. No, you don't.
I think it's very funny. I'm pretty sure the Red Sox and the Orioles are supposed to open the season against each other. And it's like a really depressing version of like the Spider-Man versus Spider-Man meme on Twitter. Fourth and fifth place in the division, you know, like jostling to see like who won't finish at the bottom of the barrel. Do you think this is going to be the year that the Yankees win the World Series finally?
I can't even predict anything like that. The biggest key for the Yankees, and I've been saying this the past 3 years, and it's coming back to bite me in the rear end, is health. But 2019, 30 guys on the IL, and they still won 103 games.
I know.
How the hell does that even happen?
Speaks to the depth of your farm system, for one thing.
Well, it was the depth. It was everyone they got did something, like someone would fill in. And, you know, I mean, Gio Urshela came out of nowhere. Cameron Maybin came out of nowhere. Mike Pachman came out of nowhere. All these guys are like, why, what is happening right now? Like, and even last season, you know, Stanton, Judge, they were hurt for a while. Although Stanton, I mean, you know, if it wasn't for him in the playoffs, bashing home runs every game, the Yankees probably would have done a little worse. You know, Yankee fans finally got a taste of what Stanton can do in the playoffs. And that's basically just hit home runs 500 feet. But it's always going to be health with the Yankees. I don't understand. I think it's because guys can't take PEDs anymore that all of these IL trips are happening. I'm telling you, because I'll never forget when Johnny Damon first came over to the Yankees, Michael Kay mentioned that he hadn't been on the DL, because it was the DL back then, in 10 years. And in my head, I'm thinking, wow, why would that be? Because testing is so prevalent now that, of course, none of these guys are on anything. And it wasn't like they were taking stuff to make themselves hit better. They were taking stuff so they could stay healthy and not go on the DL. Like when Andy Pettitte came out and said, yes, I was taking HGH, it was helping me heal. Like he was the only one who was doing that? Come on. So now the guys can't take anything, even though guys try to, Robinson, Cano. And let's talk about Cano for a second. How do you get caught taking such an old steroid that you know is going to show up in a steroid test? Like some of these guys, you just want to take them and shake them and be like, it's 2021. How are you still doing stands all over the wall? It's like ridiculous.
We're heading into the Super Bowl. The NBA and NHL are in full swing, and there is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust here at the Locked On Podcast Network, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar makes the best tasting protein bars ever. Their protein bars are healthy bars that taste like candy bars. Each bar is covered in 100% chocolate. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and nut-free flavors. Each one is soft and easy to chew, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, but without sacrificing the amazing taste that you can only get with a Built Bar. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat, Built Bar is the bar for you. For a limited time only, go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. That promo code works if you're a first-time buyer or a repeat customer, so use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. You know, the only way that we're ever going to stop having this conversation, which we never will because they're never going to do this, but like regulating the use of these things medically, Stephen Wright, he had like a domestic violence suspension, like, but for the sake of this conversation, just like as a player, he, after his domestic violence suspension, he then got suspended for PEDs. Because he had the same knee surgery that Dustin Pedroia had had, and he was using something to help him heal. And it's like, well, okay, crappy human being aside, so just say it's a random player who doesn't, you know, attack his wife and yell at his wife. Any random player, Dustin Pedroia, perfect example, same exact procedure, is dying, literally would kill to get back into this game that he hasn't been able to play basically since 2017. You don't want this guy, you know, who you're paying $10+ million a year, healthy, playing on your team. Have a doctor give him this so that he's just healthy enough to play. And once he's healthy enough to play, you stop giving it to him. And if he gets it somewhere else, I mean, look at Ellsbury. He's like going to unauthorized medical facilities doing God knows what. And now the Yankees are trying to recoup like $60 million in salary from him. All of these issues could be avoided if they were just having the doctors give them something to help them heal in like prescribed dosages and then not giving it to them anymore. And like, if the person continues to test positive after they've stopped being given it by the medical professionals, then you can suspend them because they're using them, you know, outside of the rules.
Right.
But like, it's better for the game if you're if the guys that you're paying to play the game are healthy enough to play the game. Right. That's a completely different issue than like using them to get an unfair advantage. It's like, no, Dustin Pedroia would like to be able to walk again. You know, bare minimum, he would like to be able to walk again.
Right. And
what are we even talking about here?
Like, I feel like a lot of the guys were doing it for that reason, because of the pressure to stay on the field, because they're getting paid millions of dollars. You don't want to be on the IL for 6 months. You want to be able to play and earn the money and not have people say that you're, I mean, it's also that whole being a man thing, which is just so dangerous and toxic and annoying, but that's just how things are. I really dislike that so much, because people are always saying Giancarlo Stanton's soft because he's constantly injured. Aaron Judge is soft because he's constantly injured. And it's like, these are like big dudes. They have bigger body parts than you and me. And they tend to break down a little easier because they're so big. You know?
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, this goes back to what I was saying about recency bias. Like, his only two seasons when he hasn't missed a significant portion of the season, like when you guys traded for him, I'm not keeping track. I mean, I think he was injured in both 2018 and 2019 too, but I don't, you know, it's hard to keep track. But when you guys traded for him and after his NL MVP season, that was only the second season of his career that he'd actually been healthy for the entire season. His rookie season and 2017, every season in between then, he'd missed like at least a month of the season with a significant injury. Multiple years, it was like a season-ending injury, like a groin injury. Obviously, like, you can't count the time a ball like hit him in the face.
Oh, that was broke his face.
That was a tragedy. But like, the point being, the guy, for whatever reason, it's his size, it's his workout routine, whatever it is, just bad luck. Injury magnet. But he hit 59 home runs that year. So everyone's like, oh my God, we need this guy on our team. Like, okay, cool. You know, and when he is healthy, he does hit bombs for you guys. But like, the key part of that sentence is when he's healthy.
Right.
And I always joke about this with friends of mine who are like minor leaguers or former major leaguers, being like, you guys need to do more yoga. Your muscles are only going to get you so far if you have, I hate to say the Tom Brady thing, but pliability, flexibility. My friend Ty Kelly, who used to play for the Mets, we used to live down the street from each other in LA. And before the 2019 season, when he was going to be with the Angels before spring training, I was like, you're coming to yoga with me now. And he started, I made him come to yoga with me multiple times a week, and it helped him. These guys are just in the weight room thinking that like the size of your muscles is going to translate to success. But guess what? It's also going to translate to torn muscles, pulled muscles, strained muscles, injury list for like 6 weeks for like a strained calf. And it's like, you could avoid this if you weren't just trying to bulk up all the time. Like, what are you trying to Jose Canseco yourself into like the World Series? That's not going to work.
Like you had mentioned JD Martinez earlier, but yeah, you don't want to see him in the field. That's me with Stanton, but only because I don't want him hurt. I'd rather him be a full-time DH because anytime he's playing in the field, I'm afraid he's going to come up limp because of a strained calf, because that's a strained calf, strained quad. Everything is leg problems with him. So yeah.
Leg back, you know, they trip on the grass for some reason.
Oblique. That's another one that's constantly injured.
I always find it really funny. Athletes are supposed to be the paragon of health, strength, the best that the human body can be. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the princess and the pea. I'm trying to think, like I did a series on Girl at the Game of like the weirdest ways athletes have injured themselves. It's just so mind-blowing to me sometimes, like what these guys, like what happens to these guys. And then, okay, remember in Hercules, the animated movie, when Danny DeVito's like, satyr character, Phil, he's showing Hercules, like Hercules comes to him for training and he's showing him his room with like all of the people that he trained and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he shows him Achilles and he flicks the heel and the statue crumbles. I always think of that with these guys because it's like 1 minute they're hitting, you know, home runs with like an exit velocity of like 800 miles an hour. And the next minute they're on the injured list because they tweaked their shoulder.
Right.
And you're just like, but how do we reconcile these two things? And I think that one of the biggest things is like the teams that are focusing on alternative treatments and alternative training methods, like yoga, like, you know, massage therapy, all of these, you know, actual stretching as opposed to just like, you know, bulking up. Those are the players that are going to have longevity in the game. They're actually taking care of themselves. And, you know, same thing with the Red Sox, like, doesn't really matter at this point because our team's not that high caliber to begin with. But with your team, the injuries are just, I mean, it's like astounding at this point.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're injured so much. I play the ER theme for injury updates.
Oh my God.
And it's every show. It's like, oh, it's time for an injury update. I mean, I do it as a goof, but you know, I have to do it because people are constantly injured.
At least you have the farm system to withstand it. Like if like with the Red Sox in 2019, when our entire starting rotation fell apart, it was just a revolving door of terrible AAA pitchers. And each of them was so unmemorable and bad. You guys, at least Gio Urshela comes up, you know, you get some good pitching from your minor league system. Our minor league system's just like, how did these guys even get drafted? Like, if you had to say right now, is your team winning the division this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll say yes. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Hey, I'll say it too. My team is also winning the division. No, I'm just kidding. It's not happening. Okay. Is your team making it to the World Series this year? Because I have to say the National League is looking a lot more interesting than the American League. Postseason
contenders are doing what every team should have done.
Exactly. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. That's going to be the Mets. Yeah, that's going to be a fun division to watch between the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, and I actually think that the NL East is also going to be more interesting than people think. Between the Braves, the Marlins, the Mets, you know, there are some teams that can still make some serious upgrades. But yeah, I think the NL West and the NL East are going to be way more interesting than like our division, for example. Maybe, I mean, you never know how it's going to shake out, but like Padres-Dodgers is going to be filthy. I'm so excited to watch those games just to like watch purely good baseball.
Oh yeah, definitely. You just brought up the Realmuto thing. The interesting thing to me, and I had this conversation on my show with my friend, is with baseball and the players going back and forth and, you know, oh, there might not be a universal DH or there might be a universal DH. I feel like some of the guys who are out there would have a bigger market if there were a universal DH. You know, like guys like who were like JD Martinez, who you would rather see just batting and not playing the field, like Marcell Ozuna, who can't play the field to save his life, but can hit the hell out of the ball. You know, like if there's someone out there like that who's still waiting in free agency, I feel like they need to get the universal DH in place right now. And I know a lot of purists don't want that, but aside from seeing Bartolo Colon hit a home run, I mean, can you think of another exciting pitcher batting scenario? Because I can't. It's painful to
Greinke.
Watch.
Greinke, oh, maybe.
Maybe. But other than that, you know, I still have Chin-Ming Wong in the back of my head. And I just, I mean, his career was ruined from running the bases in Houston in 09. And I, every time a pitcher is up to bat, this is what I'm picturing in my head. I'm always afraid that someone's going to hurt themselves because they're not used to batting ever.
Yeah.
They look silly. They look ridiculous. You don't want them swinging. And when they do, you're like, oh God, you're going to tear something. Stop. I would much rather see the universal DH, and they need to make that happen soon. It's annoying that they're still going back and forth on this.
So I actually have a solution for the universal DH thing, because there are those rare crazies like Zach Greinke who do like to hit. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about in September 2018, there was a Sox-Mets series, the rare Sox-Mets series that DeGrom and Sale were going to face off. And all anyone could talk about for like a solid 5 days before the series was how in college DeGrom had homered off of Sale.
Oh, right. I remember that.
Except that the series was being played at Fenway. So DeGrom was not going to have to hit. And I was like, yeah, this is very exciting, but I don't need to hear about it every 5 minutes on every single Boston broadcast and radio station, because they're playing in an American League ballpark. So it doesn't matter. And also because the Red Sox had already clinched a postseason berth. So Cora was not trying to win more games. He was just trying to preserve all of his players and figure out his lineups and everything for and roster for the postseason. So Sale only pitched like 4 innings. It was like the most anticlimactic matchup ever. It was actually kind of a bummer. But yeah, my solution is this. If you have a pitcher who wants to bat, they can bat.
Right.
If, and this is the general practice, because guys like Eduardo Rodriguez are terrible hitters. If you have a pitcher who doesn't want to bat, you can put in a pinch hitter for them, but the pitcher can keep pitching in the game.
Right.
Like no penalty. Everybody wins. You still have a guy like Greinke who wants to hit bombs. He can hit his bombs. You can have a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez not have to make a fool of themselves. That's not happening.
Well, my other solution would be if they insist on having pitchers bat, then they can have a pinch runner without penalty.
Yeah.
Like put Tyler Wade in to run the bases for Luis Severino, and then Luis Severino can go back in and pitch.
I don't mind pitchers hitting when it's a pitcher who is actually good at it. Like one of the most memorable moments of the 2018 season was the fact that Rick Porcello hit a bases clearing double in a game against the Nationals the week of July 4th. And like had not had an extra base hit since like 2010. All the announcers were making fun of him on ESPN. And the second they talk about how, you know, he's such a bad hitter, he smoked one. And they won 3-0 on the basis of his bases clearing double. It's still one of the funniest things that happened that year.
So I hope you enjoyed this crossover episode. I know I did. It was a lot of fun talking with Gabrielle. As you heard, we talked about a lot of different things because there are a lot of different things to talk about when you talk about the game of baseball. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On today. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.